Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. Well, welcome to In the Studio with Linus. It's a weekly entertainment information show. We come on at 6 p.m. Pacific time every Wednesday. You can call in to the show and give a shout-out if you like, or for a special person or any event that's coming up. The chat room is always open for discussions. Discussions Weekly will center around hot topics, politics, NFL, NBA, MLB, weather changes, what new music just got released, most entertainment news around television, movies, and cable shows, updates on performers, singers, actors, and sport figures. If there is a subject that you would like to see discussed, please contact me at website www.theessenceofsuccess.com. Thank you for listening around the world or in the chat room or on the phone. We appreciate your support, and we're quite grateful. So today we've got so much in news to cover, and hopefully I can get it all in within an hour's time. First off, the first story, I'm going to go directly to it, so I'm not going to do any other announcements, going directly to the news. Trump's White House moves to destroy black colleges. So this is from the Tom Joyner Foundation statement about Donald Trump's recent HBCU remarks. President Donald Trump is taking aim at African-American students and jeopardizing the future of historically black colleges and universities. Construction for black colleges, Trump argues, could be unconstitutional because it's racially biased. Without new buildings for state-of-the-art technology, the outlook for black colleges becomes even more challenging. We're discouraged but not surprised. Trump promises regarding the education of black students are questionable at best. The president can't be trusted with his rhetoric. He makes bold promises one day, then reneges on his commitments a day later. Promises for funding black colleges are no different. In February, when Trump's invited 60 black college presidents to the White House for a meeting about funding HBCUs, the session was abruptly cut short by a much-publicized photo op with Trump in the Oval Office. Who gives a damn? The president and I admire the contributions of historically black colleges and universities. Vice President Mike Pence told black college presidents. Pence said that Trump's administration is committed to ensuring that HBCUs get the credit and attention they deserve. More deception, more smoke and mirrors. Last week, Trump undercut a 25-year-old program that helps finance construction projects for historically black colleges and universities. Trump sign a $1 trillion proposed budget where he mentioned the historically black college and university capital finance program account as one example of programs that allocate benefits on the basis of race, ethnicity, and gender. The United Negro College Fund said it's puzzled by Trump's characterization of the provision. Cheryl Smith, Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Government Affairs at the UNCF, told Politico the program Trump used as an example isn't based on race but on mission, accreditation status, and the year the institution was established. Trump's signing statement was also criticized by Republican Representative John Conyers, Jr. from Michigan. Okay, excuse me, I just got to find that again. Okay, Conyers from Michigan, the ranking Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, and Representative Cedric L. Richmond, Democrat of Louisiana, the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. Trump's statement is not only misinformed factually, it is not grounded in any serious constitutional analysis. Their joint statement said, for a president who pledged to reach out to African Americans and other minorities, this statement is stunningly careless and divisive. We urge him to reconsider immediately. I am not puzzled by the president's thinking. I see Trump's move as another systematic attempt to dismantle years of progress by African Americans. Trump, his advisors, and his cabinet of mostly white men have no connection to America's black experience. Okay, they do have Ben Carson in there. I know he's an Oreo, but he does have one black person on his cabinet. Experiences that they don't care about the social, economic, health, and educational challenges facing black Americans. Many civil rights activists were currently skeptical when the black college presidents met with Trump at the White House in February. In fact, Morehouse College President John Wilson Jr. described the meeting with White House aides as troubling. Wilson and other black college presidents were hoping that Trump would set aside additional funding for historically black colleges instead of a substantive meeting. Some said the presidents were lured into the Oval Office for a hasty arranged photo op with Trump. Please, what do they care? You need to sit down and talk. They don't care about no pictures. Pictures ain't going to get money for our colleges. In general, the meetings were a troubling beginning to what must be a productive relationship, Wilson said in a statement to the school students. I don't believe Trump wants a productive relationship with black college presidents. He has already signaled that he intends to challenge the progress of black colleges by claiming unconstitutional racial preferences, a long-time and predictable Republican strategy to undermine the achievements of African Americans. My commentary on this is, number one, my daughter went to Clark in Atlanta, and I was very proud of her to be accepted and go to HBCU. Now, I didn't get any help. That was $5,000 a semester. So, Trump, the government didn't help me. That money came out of my pocket, but she didn't miss school. She was there every day. So, but the education that she got from the black perspective of a black college cannot compare to when she graduated from the University of Washington. So, and all schools, not only just colleges, but all schools, I'm sure, need constructional changes to update the schools. But the black colleges seem to be catching it worse, where the other colleges, they've got associates and different people that will give them $50,000 or $100,000 a year to the colleges. There's not a lot of black millionaires out here who can do that. They do help and they do give money. I know Bill Cosby does. Denzel Washington does. I don't know who else, but I know those two do. So, you know, wow. African Americans, there is a HBCU that you can just donate money. I do. But donate money for other students that can go, and hopefully things will get turned around in our government that you will get the money for new construction to update those colleges. Okay. Well, the next story, Scandal will end after season 7. In January, ABC Entertainment Chief Channing Dungry indicated that the network was expecting the finale to come sooner rather than later. TV Line reported that the decision was Rhyme's call. I would say yes in Shonda's head, Dungy said in January, when asked whether there was a plan for ending the show. I know already that she has some ideas for next season, which will be season 7. We have not really talked about what happens after that, but I love the show, and I would happily keep the show on as long as she feels that she has creative runway to write the show. Scandal turned Kerry Washington into a major star, and his success helped cement Rhyme's status as a uber showrunner. Scandal was a pillar of ABC's TGIT strategy of loading up Thursday night with Rhyme producer Sudzers. Of late, however, a resurgence of Grey's Anatomy has eclipsed the viewership of Scandal. Asked recently by Variety how much longer the show would run, Washington said, "I don't know. It's in Shonda's hands," she said. "I don't know, but I trust Shonda. We'll just see." Okay, and some more scoopity scoop. Blame Game. Fedra. Now, this is from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Fedra says this is who told her Candy and Todd wanted to Bill Cosby Portia. Yeah, you heard me. Looks like just about all of those stories about our HOA reunion are shaking out to be true. If you recall, rumors swirled that not only was Phaedra booted from the show, but she took a member of production down with her, claiming that all the Candy rape drug BS came from his mouth originally. Now a Bravo insider is reporting to Page Six that Phaedra did indeed try to loop production into her scandalous hearsay, but Andy and crew shut that shit down quickly. Phaedra tried to blame producers for manipulating the scenario, and it was cut from the reunion show. They're not allowed to break the fourth wall and talk about production. It may not have been entirely Phaedra's fault, but she has to take the fall. A source close to Phaedra also says the editing made her look crazier due to the lack of mention of who her source for the information was. It was a producer who told her the drug and rape story, which she repeated to another cast member. It snowballed. The editing was not kind to her. Sounds like she really did try to peg that nasty rumor on Carlos King. However, a Bravo rep insisted that production is not involved in Phaedra's fanciful tales. Shaking my head, y'all. Phaedra is really still riding this lie, huh? She did say she'll never let anyone see her sweat. Well, I guess not, girlfriend. Okay, and then we've got some sad news to report. Christopher Big Black Boykin. Cause of death and how did he die? On Tuesday morning, Christopher Big Black, part of MTV's hit reality series, Rob and Big, died at age 45. A rep for Boykin confirmed to people that the cause of death was a heart attack. He was a big man, y'all. He stood about 6'6". In a statement obtained by People, MTV said, MTV is deeply saddened to learn the news of Christopher Big Black Boykin passing. He was a longtime and beloved member of the MTV family and will be greatly missed. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends at this time. Big Black and Rob Dyrdek's close friend and co-star on Rob and Big from 2006 to 2008. But the show came to an end after 19 episodes because of a fallout between the co-stars. In 2014, Dyrdek opened up to Graham Bensinger about the struggles on the show and what led to the friction between him and Big Black. "I didn't want to be known as Rob from Rob and Big," Dyrdek said, "and I think he didn't want to be known as a sidekick. So I think that created a lot of that tension between me and him." Dyrdek said he believes it was fundamental struggle of wanting to not be so connected to each other that resulted in the show ending. In February 2016, Big Black was invited to the FGCU campus, Florida Gulf Coast University, to discuss his life and experience on reality shows. According to an article published by Eagle News, the school's main media outlet discussed everything from his youth to the time he and Derek ran from cops in Rome during his interview with the school's programming board. He reportedly spoke to the students about growing up in rural Mississippi and his experience with racism in the South. The star revealed that he once didn't get a job because the employer was convinced that he was a criminal, even though he has never been arrested in his life. The 6'6" reality star, who was a veteran of the United States Navy, posted his last tweets on Monday, making a comment about boxer Canelo Alvarez. And I believe what he said was that he was not going to win. I believe that's what he said. That he was not going to win, but anyway. Let me see. Okay. Well, I think right now we're going to take a quick little break. And we'll be right back. Don't you go nowhere. We'll be right back with more news.
I know a place.
No.
Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The time right now is about 6:28 on the West Coast and about 9:38 on the East Coast. Okay, continuing with the news. Well, little-known black history fact, Louisville Free Public Library. The Louisville Free Public Library Western Branch is the first public library open in the United States exclusively for and operated by African Americans. The library first opened its doors in 1905 in a humble rented facility, expanded in 1908 with the efforts of philanthropist Andrew Carnegie. Known then as the Louisville Free Public Library Western Colored Branch, the effort was spearheaded by Central High School principal Albert Ernest Mezick to open a space that could adequately serve the school's black students. It was customary at the time for black libraries to be housed in other similar facilities, and such was the case for the Western Branch as it was rented space elsewhere. Mezick pushed city officials to open a second branch for black people known as the Eastern Branch in 1914. In 1908, Carnegie funded the building of the official Western Branch, and it quickly became a hub of intellectual discovery and a model for other black libraries nationwide. There is some confusion. It is indeed the first library of its kind, or just the first in the Deep South, but what is agreed upon is that it spawned a growing trend. In 2001, the Western Branch was in danger of closing. Musical icon Prince secretly donated $12,000 to keep this from happening. The library has been on the National Register of Historical Places since 1975. Now, I have an announcement to make. Believe it or not, I'm going to try one more time. My website went down, and that's where all my news stories are at. I'm going to try one more time, but the site, the whole thing. Oh, hey, hello. Looks like it came back up. Are you kidding? This is good. Okay. All righty. Well, let's talk about Dance Mom star Abby Lee Miller. Do y'all ever watch that star Dance Mom? I think it's on FX or Hallmark. I didn't like that woman because she was mean to them little kids. I didn't think all that was necessary. I know there's such a thing as discipline, but I just thought she was a mean woman. Former Dance Moms reality TV star Abby Lee Miller was sentenced Tuesday to a year and a day in prison for hiding $775,000 worth of income and bringing $120,000 worth of Australian currency into the United States without reporting it. United States District Judge Joy Flowers Conti also fined Miller $40,000 on top of the $120,000 in currency she forfeited as part of guilty pleas entered last year, and ordered her to spend 2 years on probation after prison. Miller is 51 years old. She filed for bankruptcy just as her star was rising in late 2010 after defaulting on a $245,000 Florida condominium mortgage and a $96,000 mortgage on her Abby Lee Dance Company studio in Penn Hills, Pittsburgh suburb. Assistant U.S. Attorney, Gregory Malucci told the judge that Miller went from being a dance mom to bankruptcy case to dance con by hiding her income. U.S. bankruptcy judge Thomas Agresti nearly approved a plan to let Miller repay her creditors at a lower interest rate and longer terms before he saw her on TV one night and figured she must be making far more than the $8,899 in monthly income she initially declared. It's a crime to deceive a bankruptcy judge about one's income and assets because that information is used to determine how much and how soon creditors will receive in their court-ordered repayment plan. Miller eventually coughed up $288,000. in TV income she didn't initially report in 2012. The federal investigators found she hidden nearly $550,000 more from personal appearances, dance sessions, and merchandise sales. Defense attorney Robert Ridge asked the judge to not hold Miller's celebrity against her, saying Miller was ill-equipped to deal with the brand that she became. Let that be the reason it helps her to sleep at night. The Dance Mom star was known for her brash behavior, I told y'all she was mean, and pursuit of perfectionists from her dance students. The show followed a class of Miller's elite students and the perilous relationship she has with the girls' mothers. Critics of Dance Moms accused Miller of being emotionally abusive toward the girls. And many episodes showed her students dissolving into tears after a harsh critique. Miller announced in March that she was leaving the show. She's now working out of a dance studio near Los Angeles, and Conti agreed to recommend that federal prison officials let her serve her sentence as close to her new business base of operations as possible. Miller must report to prison in a few weeks. Why does it have to be close? What is she going to be from prison operating her dance studio? I don't think so. Ridge told the judge that Miller accidentally became famous when she let TV producers use her studio for a show about young dancers, only to have the producers center the show on Miller after the fiery encounter with the angry parent. Conti told Miller that the prison sentence and other punishments are not about the fame. It's really about what anyone who's going to commit bankruptcy fraud will face. There's going to be serious consequences, Conti said. Miller told the judge that she opened a bank account not authorized by the court so she could pay bills and otherwise run her business affairs while the bankruptcy proceedings ground on. Malucci contends Miller was extremely arrogant and opened the account so she could receive and spend income away from Judge Argressi's prying eyes to satisfy her enormous greed. Dance Moms became a hit and became a laughingstock of reality TV, Miller told the judge, referring both to her on-camera persona and her later legal troubles. Why didn't I hold myself to the same standard I hold my dancers to? Had I done that, I wouldn't be here today. No, you're a greedy bitch, that's why. Greedy, greedy, greedy. Well, what can I say? She's greedy, greedy, greedy. Okay, let me see. I'm still having problems with my page. I have a lot more news stories. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I don't know what's going on with the website or with my page, but I do have something I want to talk about for you folks that I want to talk about a medication here for a minute. It's where am I at? Holistic doctors. This is really good. I happened to be listening to last night, y'all, Coast to Coast AM with George Noory on the radio, and he had a special guest on there speaking about holistic meds. Now, for me, I'll just say this at the beginning before I read the article. I rather take holistic meds because the chemicals, Big Pharma, some of those things don't mix. You know, if you're already on some medication, you go to the doctor for whatever concern, now you got to take another medication, may not mix with your prior that you're already taking. Do they tell you that? Do they check on that? No, not really, because even if you tell your pharmacist, they may say it's okay, but you don't know that until you take it for yourself, and then you'll understand that, there's a problem, it doesn't work out. So, but with holistic, it's natural and it's from the earth, and it doesn't have all the chemicals. So I think it's a lot better for you. Holistic, you can't go wrong. And you don't have the side effects like you do with chemical medicine. Okay, just to let you know. Okay, so sharing last night's show on Coast to Coast AM with George Noory, I found this quite interesting since I use holistic meds. In the first half longtime healing arts activist Erin Elizabeth discussed the shocking increase in the number of holistic doctors who have died under questionable circumstances. Now listen to me good, folks, because Big Pharma don't want the holistic doctors to come out and it would ruin their business. The total number of deaths has now gone past 60 doctors that have died in the last 22 months. She reported with one occurring just yesterday in Wisconsin, as well as the ongoing case of a missing doctor in Texas. Some would say these doctors were outspoken, and a number of them had been getting their patients into remission from stage 4 cancers, she noted. One of the first deaths was Dr. Jeff Bradstreet, who was known for his controversial treatments for children with autism. His gunshot wound to the chest was called a suicide in mainstream media, but Elizabeth and his family believe it may have been murder. Many of the deaths are strange accidents, unsolved murders, or claimed suicides, she detailed. In the case of the missing holistic doctor, Glenn Towery, in the San Antonio area, his truck had been found on a backcountry road along with his cell phone and wallet. Police are investigating as a crime scene and not ruling out foul play. In a 2015 case in Pennsylvania, osteopath Mary Bouvier was found stabbed to death in her kitchen by an unknown assailant, Elizabeth cited. Spoke about the recent death of a board-certified holistic doctor, Juan Gonzalez, which police are investigating as a homicide. Dr. Gonzalez was said to be successfully treating cancer patients. Elizabeth also talked about the increase of fake news and how websites like Snopes.com are not always accurate in their debunking attempts. She has been banned from Facebook multiple times as they apparently find her health-related content to be controversial. Okay, and with that, we're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The time right now is 6:45 on the West Coast on the Pacific Northwest. The sun is shining, and we are having really good weather up here today, wonderful weather. And the time right now is about 9:45 on the East Coast. Well, my page is up now. I got the rest of the news. Yay, yay. Okay, so you know we got to talk about Comey's fire, okay? In a shock move after fallout of Clinton email probe, Trump fires FBI Director Comey. U.S. President Donald Trump on Tuesday abruptly fired FBI Director James Comey in the fallout over Comey's probe of Democrat Hillary Clinton's emails last year, saying Comey was no longer able to effectively lead the law enforcement agency. And I want y'all to know Obama warned him not to put him in his cabinet before he was gathering his people together. He told him he wasn't a good fit. Comey had been leading an FBI investigation into allegations of Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. presidential election and possible collusion with Trump's campaign. His dismissal will likely fuel concerns about the integrity of the probe and renew calls for an independent investigation. The FBI director has been embroiled in a controversy surrounding his probe into whether Clinton's use of private email server while U.S. Secretary of State during President Barack Obama's first term compromised national security. It is essential that we find new leadership for the FBI that restores public trust and confidence in its vital law enforcement mission, Trump said in a letter to Comey released by the White House. Trump told Comey in the letter he accepted the recommendation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions that he could no longer provide effective leadership. Comey's term was to run through September 2023. The decision announced by White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer in a brief appearance before reporters caught Washington off guard. Comey had said in July the Clinton email case would be closed without prosecution, but then declared 11 days before the November election in which Clinton was the Democratic nominee that he had reopened the investigation because of a discovery of a new trove of Clinton-related emails. Clinton and other Democrats say they believe Comey's decision helped cost her the election. The White House released a memo by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein that provided the administrative justification for firing Comey. I cannot defend the director's handling of the conclusion of the investigation of Secretary Clinton's emails, but I do not understand his refusal to accept the nearly universal judgment that he was mistaken, Rosenstein said. Senate Democratic Whip Dick Durbin went to the Senate floor on Tuesday to urge the White House to clarify whether FBI investigation of Russian interference in the presidential campaign would continue now that Comey has been fired. Any attempt to stop or undermine the FBI's investigation would raise grave constitutional issues, Durbin said. We await clarification by the White House as soon as possible as to whether this investigation will continue. Well, I can tell you right now, y'all, it's going to continue. They said this morning, I guess he's got somebody lined up that they'll probably announce, if not by or before Friday or by Friday, who will be taking his place. So the investigation is going to continue on. One of the senators is that's head of the House, what is it? Not communication. Oh, God, I'm sorry, I can't think right now. Investigations, I'll put it like that, said just because he's gone, he's fired, doesn't mean the investigation stops. It shall go forward. Let's see, you're in. Okay, Trump's in his letter to Comey said, quote, unquote, "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau. There are several Russian probes ongoing in Congress. The United States House of Representatives' main investigation has been stymied in recent weeks by partisan squabbles, while the Senate's peril probe has been slow-moving and equipped with a much smaller staff than previous high-profile congressional investigators. Interesting, isn't it? That's really interesting. Well, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, the news, everybody was on it this morning. It was definitely like a wake-up call. Nobody expected it. So, anyway, hope that I'm sure you guys are listening or have listened to the news this evening to hear the most recent outcome from that. Well, sanctuary cities, Texas says no siree. A former Texas politician leader is pleased that the state will not tolerate its cities and counties. Counties becoming sanctuary cities for illegal aliens who are trying to avoid federal immigration authorities. Texas charged to the forefront. You know, Texas is a state, the only state in the nation that has the death thing on speed dial. Don't ever commit a crime in Texas because they don't wait long to kill you down there. Texas charged to the forefront of the national debate over immigration as Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed a sanctuary cities ban Sunday evening that lets police ask during routine stops whether someone is in the United States legally and threaten sheriffs with jail if they don't cooperate with federal immigration agents. Kathy Adams, a national board member of Eagle Forum and a former chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, tells One News, now the anti-sanctuary city bill has come real teeth, has some real teeth. For one thing, police chiefs and sheriffs who fail to honor a jail detainer request from federal immigration agents could be charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which carries possible jail time. And any chief or sheriff who is convicted of not complying could be removed from office. They ain't playing in Texas. Banning illegal alien sanctuaries has been viewed as the defining issue of Governor Greg Abbott, Republican's first term, and Adam adds that providing sanctuary to illegal aliens incites trouble. I think that families deserve better protection than just having a set aside saying that in this city, an illegal alien is going to be protected. She submits that it is not protecting the majority of people. It is only protecting one who has already broken the law by being in the country illegally. And Adams says this law is important to a state like Texas as it shares a long border with Mexico. These are not people crossing the border just because they need jobs or because they want a safer place to live. These are people who are here to do mischief, and we know that they are drug lords that are controlling the border and creating lots of trouble for those living along the border. Adams is also pleased to see that President Trump has made the sanctuary city problem a major focus of his immigration agenda. Well, y'all, you know I'm from Washington, so I'm going to tell you, Seattle, Washington, we are one of the sanctuary cities. Yes, 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 we are. We definitely have a diverse group of people that live here. But not only are we sanctuary cities, we have 5 homeless camps here, too. So what can I say? And our mayor is up on charges right now for child rape and child molestation. So pray for Seattle, Washington, okay? Now, this is real quick because I'm going to be going off the air in a minute or two. But I wanted to give you something good to end the show with. To remove, anybody have like a bloated belly or, you know, you got that little pooch fat down there sometimes after you eat? Well, I'm going to tell you something. In just 60 seconds, it's a belly fat burning recipe, and it'll take your belly down. There's a feeling of discomfort, largeness, and inflation when it's often mistaken for fatness. According to people's experiences, bloating feels like a huge balloon inside your stomach, followed by uneasiness and a sense of being overweight. Although there are many theories on how to get rid of bloating belly, the cure is quite simple. Well-known nutritionist and healthy food author Cynthia Sass introduced a tonic that is bound to cure bloated belly in no time. With the minimum of calories and acting as a mighty fat burner, this remedy is more than welcome on the health market. Plus, you get a bunch of healthy nutrients by simply consuming it regularly. Alongside this, encourages incorporating a weight loss program known as the fat belly diet, you know, if you want to do that. The liquid disallows water retention. And by solely drinking plain water, you won't get the same effect with this drink. You will increase the intake of electrolytes and speed up the organism. Okay, so this is it, y'all. You want 67 ounces of water, 12 small mint leaves, 1 teaspoon of freshly grated ginger, 1 medium-sized lemon, finely sliced, 1 medium-sized cucumber, peeled and finely sliced. Put it in a pitcher, combine all ingredients together, let the mixture soak for an hour. Once ready, drink 8-ounce glasses per day. Drink 8 to 10 glasses per day. Plain water drinking is not necessary since this beverage replaces it well. In a short time, you will get improved digestion, suppressed appetite, and no bloating whatsoever. All right, try it out. I'm doing it. I've already tried it, and it did. It took my stomach down, y'all. I ain't going to lie to you. It took my stomach down. So I'm already into it and doing it. Okay? You got a witness. Well, I want to thank you, everybody, for joining me today around the world, the folks in the chat room, and the people that called in on the phone. I do appreciate you, and if no one's told you they love you today, well, I do. And I want to thank you for joining me on In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Well, I hope you have a great week. I'll see you here next Wednesday. I'm going on vacation, so y'all be good to each other, respect each other, and love each other, and have a real good weekend. All right, and happy Mother's Day to everybody. And for those that, if you're not a mother, that's okay. I know that you showed some child love in your life, whether it was a niece or nephew or cousin's child or your godchild. If you showed some child love, you were acting as a mother. And also, let me say happy Mother's Day to the fathers that are pulling double duty, that are raising their children on their own. So happy Mother's Day to you fathers as well. You need to be recognized too. All right, y'all. I'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Possibility in the moves we can make. Your kiss is giving every indication. If this heart of mine is right, by the time this night is over, the stars are gonna shine to lovers in love. And when the morning comes, it's gonna find out. Let love take us over. There's magic here with you and I, and it's gonna take.